And it's not just beating the Patriots who were down this year, but you can remove the SOJ moniker we saw last night. This is the beginning, and maybe it even started a couple weeks ago, whatever you want to say here. Once Rodgers got here, but last year we know it was a disaster. They are no longer the same old Jets. Things are different now for your New York Jets.
Well, you listen, you know that I never fed into the SOJ stuff, but I think it was more me just trying to stave off the reality of what it was. And, you know, not to push this too forward here, but I'm going to. To me, because of Aaron Rodgers, right, and not just that the throws were impeccable, the mobility, the fact that Aaron Rodgers was moving around and looked so spry, to me, Jets ceiling elevated last night. There were so many things that you love about this. First of all, you know, and you watch the games, you know the stats, so I'm not going to bore you with that. But optically, how many times, and I guess this goes into the SOJ stuff, Sal, how many times have you sat down as a Jets fan and it's the exact opposite script where you never possess the ball, the other team basically doubles you up in yardage, basically triples or a little bit more, triples you up in first downs. I mean, everything. The Jets looked like a well-oiled, precise, talented, cohesive, well-coached team. Well, a couple things with Solomon, which I'll get to later. But I thought Olbrich was on the money. I thought Hackett was on the money coming out, forcing tempo.
Throwing the football right out of the game.
It was fun, man.
You gotta love that. Yeah, I mean, how about that? It was a fun night at MetLife Stadium. And the thing that I took away the most from it, BT, was in the postgame. We saw on the field, like you said, we saw some dominance from the defense. We saw the offense do things that we haven't seen the Jets offense do. I mean, not only the Jets good in real terms this year, looked good at least last night in real terms this year, 2-1, good start to the season. But in comparison to what we've seen from this organization years past, I mean, it is night and day. It is refreshing. Jet fans can't believe their eyes. They actually have a quarterback. But the number one thing for me that I took from the game was in the postgame last night with these comments from Aaron Rodgers.
It's expectations. If the expectation is winning, then we're going to celebrate it, but we should expect to win. The next step is expecting to dominate.
Think about that.
Oh, man.
Gives me goosebumps. Yeah, well, all right, the expectation is winning. We should expect to win. The next step, expecting dominance. Something that I talked about going into the Week 2 game. Now, maybe I was a little premature, as you said. Hey, let's have some patience here. And you saw Week 2, even though they didn't play their best game, they got the win. Last night, you saw a dominant performance. And now Rodgers says, that's the next step, expecting dominance.
That's a beautiful thing right there. Yeah, you just don't hear that with the Jets there. In each game, they've gotten better. And you really start to see how diverse they are. Like last night, from an offensive perspective, both running backs could obviously catch the ball. Allen is just, wow.
Beast.
I mean, we knew that against Tennessee, but you see it more last night. So they've got this very, you know, eclectic, dynamic backfield. Rodgers looks like Rodgers. Mike Williams getting a little more involved. You know, it's funny, too, because Garrett Wilson, the irony here is that you would think that they would be on the same page.
They're not even clicking yet.
They're not even full. Now, that dime at the pylon wasn't said. That, I think that, if you know, outside of maybe one or two other quarterbacks, that's six points the other way. I mean, that's picked off and probably brought back down the sideline to the house. That throw was insane. The defense now, that's why I mentioned Olbrich. I thought, and we talked about this going into the game, hey, they can't pass. They got nothing there. So you just sell out against the run, and you see Will McDonald getting loose again. The Jets stopping him on third down. A ton of sacks, like Chuck Clark making plays. If the Jets can keep Rodgers healthy, they can go to the Super Bowl.
You know, it's why I'm glad we didn't overreact to Week 1 together as a show. And I know there were some people like, oh, come on, you guys didn't get into him. Like, time out. The most important thing from that game, I know the defense got run over, but the most important thing from that game was knowing that you have Aaron Rodgers. Think about this, BT. We talked about the excellent throws and what he does. You don't even worry about him making a mistake.
I know.
He doesn't throw interceptions. Now, he may throw a few throughout the course of the year, but think about what we're accustomed to seeing with the Jets quarterbacks. They couldn't read the defense. They couldn't make a decision. With Rodgers, it's not about not reading the field. It's about, all right, maybe he missed that throw by an inch or the receiver.
Not that he didn't see it.
Or there was good.
He just didn't put it through a keyhole for the first time all night.
Exactly.
I know.
He's making the right reads, the right decisions, the right throws. he doesn't make mistakes. Gives me goosebumps again thinking about it, how far we've come. You appreciate it even more if you're a Jet fan because you've watched the slop and the pathetic play for years, and now you go from that to one of the all-time greats. We were all robbed of it last year, unfortunately, and that kind of fed into the moniker, same old Jets. They're never going to have anything nice. Well, through three games so far, 2-1, which is the start that most people had penciled in.
Yes.
And Rodgers maybe even looks better than most people thought.
Well, that's why I thought perspective. That was the word I was throwing around a lot. You know, perspective for the Jets going into the season. Perspective after the Niners basically kicked their face in. Perspective after the Titans win, because if Will Levis was a little bit more buttoned up, Jets could have been down multiple scores. They would have absolutely been down multiple scores, and who knows, they lose the game. And even a little perspective today. And the perspective now, but the perspective changes, because what Aaron Rodgers showed the entire country last night, there was not a football observer who wasn't sure. Excuse me, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm not feeling hot, man.
I know I have medicine.
I never take medicine. Oh. Whatever. Nobody cares. I'm good to go. I'll fight through it. But
don't get me sick now.
Well, maybe you made me sick because your wife had COVID.
That's why I said you keep blaming me. I didn't have it. Hey, come on.
And we all knew, every football observer knew, that Aaron Rodgers would throw the ball, okay? The question, throw the ball well. Throw the ball like Aaron Rodgers this year. The two questions with Rodgers. Number one, would he have enough time to do it? Offensive line, gelling nice.
Yeah.
Number one. And by the way, Simpson's got a little dog in him. Yeah. I know you were at the game and you missed things game.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of a late hit, and Simpson got right up in his mug without doing something stupid and getting flagged. Like, I thought they showed real restraint. But they're
Is that the one where there were two penalties on a play? That one down the field?
I don't think it was that play.
Rodgers got hit a couple times late.
One was definitely late. One he was fine with early on. And he even told a few teammates were going toward the Patriots. He's like, come on, dude. Let's go. Let's play football. Yeah. It wasn't a real hit, which I thought was cool. But you had to protect him. And it's a long season. So far, the O-line looks good. And could he move? Now, Sal, if we came in here today and the Jets won by a similar score and out first downed them and out yarded them and everything that they did, but Rodgers didn't show this burst and this bounce, I'd still be pumped and I'd still be happy, but I have a little more restraint. He looked young.
Yeah, he's not going to look like he did, you know, in his
30s. No, he did, though.
In his early 30s. Well, still, I think Rodgers, you know, some of those plays where he turned it up the field for a few yards could have been bigger gains back then. Like, I like the fact that he's mobile. I'm not going to go nuts and say he's... Like, Rodgers, one of his great strengths was his quickness and mobility and his nimble, all the stuff.
But never 40 or 50-yard runs. Let me extend the pocket.
Right now, I think it's just the fact that he could be mobile, period, would be good
for me. But it's massive.
I know. Well, yes, because, of course, a broken down pass plays, just tuck it and run a little bit with it. You don't need to get nuts. Obviously, you don't want to see a lot of that. Mm. But the fact that he still got that in him,
correct,
which was nice. As he said, he started to feel like his old self, which is nice.
I got a stat for you. I'm going to get these calls. Yeah. And it's probably odd dropping a stat out of the chute here. But so, next-gen stats, right? And this pertains to his quickness, or at least how willing he was to run last night. First, you got to be willing. Then he got to hold up. Then he got to look good doing it. Check, check, check. So, next-gen stats. They did not do this during the game. I saw this on social media this morning. So, he ran, okay? Last night was the most Aaron Rodgers sprinted in a game, okay, since 2018.
Well, wow.
What the hell does that mean? A sprint is defined by anything that goes above 12 miles per hour or more, all right? And he sprinted 136 yards. Obviously not all forward, running back,
right,
laterally, backwards, you know, 15, 16 games that yards that he actually got, extended the pocket. The most yards sprinted since 2018. So again, he's not 25, he's not 30, but I'll tell you what, if I just flipped on the game last night, I would have never thought he got hurt, and I would have thought he was about 32.
He looked awesome. Which is a thing of beauty. And being on hand, like, I didn't know, I haven't been to a Jets game in years, that they do the, it's another Jets, first down. And as I'm thinking, as I'm there, like, it just kept happening.
Got to hear it a lot, right?
Yeah.
I know.
And I'm like, good God, like, I've watched Jets games for years, and haven't seen this. It felt like I haven't seen that many first downs in games, maybe even in seasons, and it just kept happening. They kept moving the ball like with ease, like a real football team should do.
That was the beautiful thing about it. You sit down last night in the stadium on the couch, and you know, you're sitting there, you say, not that like they were like, you know, 70-yard bombs, like the Darnold Jefferson play, but the execution, the precision, the intelligence, the just the overall approach. I really thought Hackett had a really good night. Jets look good.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Justin is calling from Cedar Grove, New Jersey. What's up, Justin?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
How are you?
Hey, man.
Good, good. Hey, Brandon, you just brought up a stat. I'll give you one. Braylon Allen, college, senior, his last year in college, 63% of his yards came after contact. That's like tackling a cement post. It's just nice to see. I mean, watching him run, and listen, this is no disrespect to Breece Hall, but it looks like when Allen runs, the whole pile moves.
It does.
3 to 4 yards.
It does.
I mean,
and Justin, I was trying to explain to my son last night, I'm like, listen, this is why this is so advantageous, because when you, there was one, I forget, it was early, there was one play where Allen just, whomever he rocked, right? And he had no business getting even 4 yards, but he did. And I said, hey, I said, what happens here is now you get to the third quarter, fourth quarter, those guys are, it's like a thousand little punches or jabs in a boxing match. They don't want to get in the way anymore. They're going to start making business over the course of the year. People are going to want to stop tackling this guy. And then it opens up for Breece, and then he's got, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here with this team.
Yeah, that play I think you were talking about, he was hit either at or behind the line of scrimmage and ended up being like, I don't know, 1 or 2 yard gain. So my actual question was, Mosley going out. I know he's captain, all pro, team leader, in just my eyes, and who am I to make a comment? It almost looks like the defense has gotten quicker and more aggressive in his absence. And I'm not trying to start a problem, but Sherwood and Quincy Williams in the middle, it looks like it's been improved. And last night's game, you know as well as I do, being a longtime Jets fan, that's a game they either lose late or let them hang around. Last night, complete opposite. Bury him early, stick him in the dirt, good night.
They could have won 40 to whatever.
Come on. Going in, we knew that game had to be what it was last night.
We said it. I used the word destruction. There was never a doubt.
It was non-competitive.
Not one.
It was non-competitive for a change from the Jets' perspective. Yeah. The Patriots were not competitive, which is great.
They
in favor of the Jets.
Well, let me just defend C.J. Mosley here, outstanding. Yeah. Now, do they look a little quicker? Obviously, Quincy can move, and obviously McDonald's moving, and Sherwood definitely showed some bounce here. C.J. Mosley's fantastic. He's like kind of Aaron Rodgers from that cerebral perspective. He's the quarterback on defense, obviously. So he's going to, and they're very, very high on him getting back against Denver. Like, I think that
this is the right move. They knew it was a lesser opponent.
I think that he probably, and we didn't think he was going to play, but I think that he could have played if it was a different situation.
Salah basically said that.
I didn't even hear him say that.
He basically said it after. Okay. Like, he's like, I forget the exact words, but I was listening to the post-game driving home, and he alluded to the fact like that he thought Mosley probably could have given it a go, but he was just like, I don't want to risk it.
Good.
Right now.
They're smart. Third game in 11 days. Now, if you take that risk, you better make sure you win. The defense looked great. They need C.J. Mosley. He is terrific.
Well,
he's a great pro.
To the caller's point, I'm not going to agree or disagree with him with that, but the defense, specifically against the run, was better without Mosley. Now, you also look at it's the Patriots.
They had two rookies on the offensive line, left and right side.
I just want to see Mosley come back and the Jets look like a dominant defense. That's all. Ray is in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
What a great morning it is, fellas.
That's right,
we
Ray.
We finally got the monkey off of our back. It feels so good. I don't want to be, you know, a negative Jets fan. I just wish we would have had Belichick. But it was just so sweet to, with Robert Kraft being there, witnessing his team crumble.
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick can take his bags and pack them and leave.
Take it easy, buddy.
Now all of a sudden the leverage is back in favor of the Jets.
Oh, okay. Sure it is.
The pendulum
and listen,
swings.
What did we see last night that really, really was a determinative factor? Two things. One, Rodgers controlled the tempo of that game.
Yes.
Look at our time of possession. He took his time. I love the graphic with the laser precision eyesight that Rodgers had and the way he was reading the field and going through his progressions. He controlled the tempo of the game. And, Sal, you said it. It was those first downs. I've never seen so many first downs.
I mean, think about it. It's football, Ray. That happens with real teams, with real offenses. And thank you for the call. They actually moved the football and got first downs, driving the ball. Not just one big play, a broken play. That's the aberration.
Yep.
Driving,
like with Zach.
Correct. driving the football. That is how you win games. Control the clock, control the tempo, move the chains. That's the recipe. Now, again, I know it's the Patriots. I know it's only week three, but the Jets with Rodgers and the other weapons starting to improve. You're seeing it here. Mm-hmm. Weekend.
Conklin, tight ends involved, Ruckert.
Yeah, more on that later. But yes, getting the tight ends involved. That combined with the defense being at a playing at a high level, whether it's top three, top five, whatever we get to see, that's the recipe for this team being a Super Bowl team.
Well, remember, Sal, after the Niners game and even, you know, remnants of the Titans game,
yeah,
we discussed that and I got back from Tennessee, I said, I don't think the Jets are going to be a top three defense this year. And I don't. And I still don't. I don't.
Which I think ultimately would be a problem if they're not, but go ahead.
Okay, but and ordinarily I would agree with you, but what if you recall what I said, the Jets, they don't need to be a top five offense, and they won't be. But if the Jets are a back end top 10 or top 11 or top 12-ish offense, and the defense takes three, four, five steps back, meaning instead of being third or second, they're seventh or eighth, how many NFL teams, I'm just throwing numbers out, but you see the point, how many NFL teams can lay claim to the fact that they're top 10 offense and defense?
Right.
So while the defense will, I think it'll just kind of inch backward a tick, because I do think they're vulnerable against good teams with the run, all right? I mean, the Patriots were so predictable and such a one-trick pony. I mean, Brissett, I felt badly for the guy.
So
you're not seeing Jacoby Brissett and, this, and two rookies on the O-line every week and no receivers that scare anybody. So the Patriots are awful. They're going to win two, three games the whole year. But if the defense steps back a little bit, but the offense steps forward, not to the Chiefs level, mm-hmm, although they could,
right,
not to the number two or number three spot, I think they might be among the top two or three most balanced teams in football.
Which is great. I've just felt like the Jets, to separate themselves, thinking big picture down the road playoffs, like if they are going to beat the Bills and the Chiefs and whoever else may be the top teams in the AFC at that time, I believe it's going to be the defense, because defense ultimately wins, and they have the potential to be a dominant defense. They've shown that in the past. Now when you combine a real offense to go along with it, that's where you start having some fun thinking about the possibilities of what this team could be. Rob is in Tom's River. What's up, Rob?
Gentlemen, I am so, so, so happy. BT, you're going to appreciate this. My fiance and I, we've been together 7 years. We're watching the game on the couch.
How long are you waiting, dude?
Turns around and looks at me.
7 years. I mean, it's, just get married already, dude.
Sorry. Wait, hold on. We got engaged in May. Yeah. We got engaged in May.
Okay.
We've been together seven years.
Gotcha.
She turns around and looks at me and she goes, is this what it's like to be good? And the man is a savant. He really, really is. And we're so lucky to have him. This is the best quarterback play I've seen on the Jets in my entire life.
Me too.
Granted, I'm young. I'm a young man. But this is just incredible.
Well, I'm not a young man, and I agree.
Yeah. I mean, Rob, that's it. I mean, this is what – now, again – Okay, I want to be careful here, not just reacting to based on what we've seen watching the Jets for years versus what we see now. So there is a big difference, because we're going to get overly excited because it's just so far better than anything else we've ever seen with the Jets in recent years. We'll see the real competition when they start to play better teams and a bill, whatever it may be. But you're talking about one of the great players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going from, like, historically bad in Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold and others before him.
I know.
To historically great, even at the age of 40. It's not like a nice build-up and in between.
I know.
This is like...
I mean, it's... I just had an off-color joke I was going to slide in there that would have been really funny.
Be careful, we'll get us in trouble.
No, the outhouse to the penthouse. No, no. Listen, I think that, you know, it's funny. He said his fiance asked the question, is this what it's like to be good? You know, and I told you the story how, you know, all these years, you know, I'm sitting on the couch and basically the only thing that I enjoyed about football Sundays was the roast beef and the mozzarella and the sandwiches. And my wife, who's a big Cowboys fan, would always say, why do you defend Zach on the radio? He stinks. Which would just drive me up the wall, because I knew deep down that she was right. And here at 17-3, whomever, third quarter, Jets have 5 first downs. They possess the ball for 10 minutes. And I'm hearing it from my wife, not Tiki or
right,
you.
Right, right.
I'm hearing it from my wife, right? Last night, she goes like this. She goes, when we're laying in bed, getting ready to go to sleep, she goes, you guys might have something this year. I said, let's go turn the lights back on.
Right, I got something for you. What'd you think of the Saleh Rodgers interaction there on the sideline?
I don't know what to think, quite frankly, here. My initial thought was, well, I mean, I have an ultimate theory, which I'll tell you, but I do think that they may have gotten on the same page before they actually went to the microphones last night and actually, I don't want to say diffuse it, because I don't think there's a beef between the two of them. I just don't think Rodgers really I don't think he really respects him.
Yeah.
Did you see the stare at the end?
I did, but I believe what they were saying. As a matter of fact, as I heard each of them, and obviously you're intrigued in the postgame to hear what the hell they're going to say. And the way Salah said it, and Salah's been like this with other stuff, it's like, no big deal, whatever. And you're like, I don't know about that. He explained it saying, we joked around about saying, you know, I want a 2-touchdown lead, and he came over and let me know, well, we got it. I accepted that. And then I heard Rodgers say it, and it was in line exactly with what Salah said. I don't think they were, you know, collaborating about it. I don't think this was a rat and the raccoon thing with the Mets. Yeah. And I did think that, you know, about the Mets thing with the rat and the raccoon, how they were lying. I really think this was a lot of nothing.
Well, I mean, listen, it might be, but I still think that when you watch the body language from Rodgers when there's a mismanagement of the clock, which we'll get to later, because there's so many good things from last night. I don't want to be negative when you don't have to be, but you've got to be real all the time. And I still think that there's big issues there. Third quarter, early, end of the first half, whatever. We'll get to that later. Enjoy the good stuff first. But I don't think that Rodgers really thinks that he knows what he's doing. And honestly, I don't think I've ever seen that kind of reaction. I'm not trying to stir the pot, make this a massive, massive deal. But here's my ultimate theory, all right? Rodgers is walking off the field having done that a million times in his life, and Robert Saleh's acting like they won the Super Bowl. He's like, dude, relax. We scored a touchdown. We're up 14-0 against one of the worst teams in football. Take it easy. Like, I think he was a little turned off by how excited his coach was in that situation.
I could see that being a good theory. I really don't believe that's the case. And here's Rodgers after the game, BT. Here were his quotes on it. Dove says he has it there.
Yep.
Just so everybody can listen to what Rodgers said afterward explaining that interaction.
No, it was not really awkward at all.
You were supposed to push him away, though, when he went to hug you. What happened?
I didn't know. He's not a big hugger, usually, so I didn't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well. So, but he talks a lot about 2-score leads.
Yeah.
So I just kind of gave him a push and said, 2-score lead.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, like, there you go, you know.
I did my job. Do your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, first of all,
competitive way.
How do we know that Robert Saleh is not a hugger? He never has a lead to celebrate. I mean, he's not a hugger. That's an interesting conclusion based on what?
He says he likes doing that two-hand. He does the chest pose. Like,
no, he's aggressive with that stuff. Yeah. I remember when the Jets beat the Bills last year, week one, he sprinted into the scrum. Last night after the first touchdown, he was fired up, which I love. Robert Saleh is still a problem for the Jets.
Right.
But I'm not fully buying the corroboration here by these two gentlemen. I just think Rodgers was like, dude, relax.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a long way to go here, pal. I've done this a million times.
I could see that being a good thing. Like I said, I'm just taking them for their word, and I think a lot was made of it. It would have been great, great drama. I'm thinking when you
I'm not looking for drama.
No, I know, but when you... Well, I mean, it'd be good for the show. When you first sent me that, I'm like, ooh. I was showing my buddy Brian at the game. I go, this, no matter what happens here, this is going to be probably the talk all day tomorrow. And then they diffused it rather, to me, like, simply. It was an honest...
It very well may have been, but I don't think everybody's buying it like you are.
What are they looking for?
We're not looking. We're just reacting.
Right, but even if it is what you said, which I think makes sense, I also don't think that that's divisive. Like, now you want to say that, well, would he do that to Parcells? No, nobody would.
Never saw him do it to the floor.
But guys have done it to Andy Reid before. And also, like, forget even that, because that's a different thing. Saleh is not that, but we know what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not
a hugger.
Well, he's also not an alpha male. I mean,
he looks like one.
Whoa. I should say.
I think with certain things he is.
I should say he's not the alpha male on this team. He may be in certain aspects.
Yep.
With Rodgers there, Rodgers is the
everybody else
dog.
Number two.
Yeah. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Anthony's in Ron Konkoma. What's up, Ant?
Hey, fellas. What's going on, man?
How are
Thank
you, man?
God. I'm great. I am great. Thank you, God. We finally beat them at home. Finally, we did what we had to do. This team forever has let us down in games like this. We finally beat the Pats at home. And I gotta ask you guys, I would say something to you guys. this kid Braylon Allen and Breece Hall, you know who they're reminding me of? Mm. Curtis Martin and Lamont Jordan. What do you guys think about that?
I used to love Lamont. Me and Herm had a big issue back in the day, which was since resolved. Thank you for the call. Me and Herm Edwards, massive issue over Lamont Jordan. I got to tell you this story someday. Not okay. Now. Yeah. Oof.
You liked him or you didn't?
I basically said play him.
Oh,
and
okay.
He, you know, from there you can imagine how it unraveled. Yeah. I'll tell you the story some other time. On the air, I'll tell you. It was actually crazy.
Yeah.
And although since then I love Herm and I respect him. Great man. So the Lamont Jordan thing's interesting. Lamont, I was pining for more playing time. Curtis got off to a really slow start. And then I think the next year he won the rushing title, so he wasn't done. But I thought they should have used him more. Then he went to the Raiders, got some money. Lamont didn't really do much there. I see a little bit of a different running back. I think Braylon Allen's going to be a better receiver. I'd be lying if I said, hey, well, what was Lamont Jordan as a chip blocker on the blitz? I don't remember. It's so long ago. Looks like Braylon Allen knows what he's doing. And he just seems to be very mature beyond his years.
Do you remember T.J. Duckett?
Yeah.
Okay. So
from Michigan State.
Yes.
Yeah, of
course. So that's who he reminds me of. The Falcons, they had... Now, Duckett was...
I think he's faster.
Yeah. Duckett was bigger.
Bigger.
But it just reminds me of when the Falcons had Warwick Dunn and T.J. Duckett.
Interesting.
The DVD backfield, Dunn, Vic,
Duckett. What about the Giants with Tiki and Brandon Jacobs?
Fair enough. I mean... And Cole brought
thunder
that up.
And lightning.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if his style... maybe even Brandon Jacobs is more like T.J. Duckett than Braylon Allen is right now. But,
yeah. I have a T-shirt. What are your thoughts on this? Tiki gave me a T-shirt, the Thunder and Lightning. What if... Would he be mad if I cross out and I put like the superimpose of Braylon and
yes,
Brace?
Yeah, what? Just get a new T-shirt made. Don't ruin that other one. I mean, come on. No, what's wrong with you? Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Good morning, fellas. It's like I hit the lottery last night. The Jets, the Mets, I don't remember a night having two wins like that, but it's a Jet moment here. Aaron Rodgers was like from game one to last night down the fountain of youth. His pre-snap reads, his rollouts. I mean, from week one, that rollout he did in week one to last night, hitting BBs out there. Mm-hmm. His pre-snaps, his football IQ is off the charts. We scoring touchdowns, first downs. It was a different team out there. We're not used to that. We're used to a 12-9 football game with the Jets. This is a different team. Defense made the adjustments. I mean, I'm ready to smoke a bowl of Hiawatha and pick it up in the mid-season defense.
It's week three, buddy.
Thank you. I know, Charlie. Take it easy.
Week three, buddy.
What I will say is you see it immediately. We talked about this week one, like, and after week two as well. His decision-making, like, the mobility added to his game now in week three is very nice to see coming off of what we saw last year, and certainly encouraging.
Oh, my God.
But the one thing, even if he's not mobile, his mind is still as sharp as ever. His arm is still 30 or whatever age you want to put on. Like, he could throw it with anybody, and he could read a defense and make a decision with anybody. Those are the things that are beautiful to watch with Aaron Rodgers. And by the way, don't even just compare it to the Jets quarterbacks of past. Compare it to Daniel Jones now. Like, when we watch both the Jets and Giants, you see a quarterback that, like, obviously one doesn't read the field as well. And and you can even compare Rodgers, forget Daniel Jones, but that's in town, but to anybody. He's just reads the field, boom, firing footballs all over the place, making those decisions.
Yeah, but you said even if he didn't have the mobility, which he seems to be gaining back rapidly, he'd still be, you know, whatever. And then you said what you said, and I don't necessarily disagree, but the additional or the newfound, you know, the resuscitated mobility, if you will, he still has that Jedi gene and the off-platform stuff, and if he can extend the play. The Jets are going to hit a lot of home runs this year.
Right.
That's what's going to start happening.
It certainly could take them to another level.
It's going to start happening. Oh!
888-808-1019. We're both dealing with a little... my throat. I don't know if it's from yelling last night or what was going on.
I'm actually just not feeling well.
Well, for me, I don't know. Maybe I didn't get enough sleep.
Were you yelling at the traffic?
I was yelling a little bit.
That little bumper to bumper?
So actually, no. What? It was perfect. I don't understand. You scared the bejeebus out of me yesterday. And I'm getting texts and tweets, and it was split. I walk over to SNY. I had to do the show afterward. Some people are like, BT's nuts. You're going to be fine. Other people are like, oh, dude, what are you thinking? It's going to take you hours to get there. It worked out fine. I get there no problem. I mean, a little traffic around the stadium getting in.
Yeah.
But I took the PATH train, as I said, to Harrison, got my car, and drove, and it probably took a half hour.
All right, well, so let's make sure that you stayed on. You didn't leave SNY early, did you?
No, no, no.
Make sure you stayed on schedule, right?
Actually, probably a little bit later. Show's off at 6:30. You know, I made sure I went to the bathroom because I'm like, I'm probably going to be sitting in traffic forever. Met my buddy Brian Myers, who went to the game with me. He met him at the path. We had a walk down. We probably took a 6:44 path train.
What time did you pull into Harrison?
Roughly 20 minutes after that.
What time did you actually start your car? 7:06, 7:05.
Yeah, let's say 7. I don't remember. I do
about,
remember. Yeah, I would say about that because it said 7:35 ETA, which was about a half hour.
As soon as you pumped it into the phone.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. It's only like 30, 35 minutes.
Oh, good. Well, I was able to rattle you. Nice.
Yeah, you. What the hell's going on here?
I actually thought you were going to be screwed.
Now, I will tell you that.
Kind of hoping you were going to be screwed for a little bit. Not where you missed it,
dude,
but where it was really close.
What you said made me think, like, I don't want to go.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, and then next Thursday, and by the way, it wasn't bad getting out of there either because I left after Zerline kicked the field goal.
Yep.
I mean, the game was over. But still, like, it's not pleasant, but it was still a lot easier. And even getting in, the worst part was, after parking, walking through the security thing, like, that takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
That took longer to get to drive into the parking lot was walking through the thing. But no issues.
Yeah, it worked out for you, Sal.
I had a pregame drink. We got through the security. We went to the bathroom. We got another drink. Walked into the seats. It was 8:10 by I got there. Plenty of time for kickoff.
I may have underrated the platinum parking spot. How advantageous was that?
I don't know, because that's something that MetLife has to clean up. There's no directions anywhere as far as the parking situation. I'm pulling it. I'm like, is this the right spot? They're like, yeah. Just keep going this way. Keep going this way. I don't think that had a big deal. I think because where I was leaving from in Harrison to go north 10 miles, that was what you maybe misread.
Well, you look good hustle, Sal. I'm proud of you.
I'm glad that it worked out for everybody.
What kind of traffic would hit in Queens tonight going to these Mets-Phillies game? What are we looking at here?
It's not going to be pleasant, kid.
Oh, God.
I guarantee you that.
And I feel horrible.
I was going to ask you later. I might as well ask you now since you brought it up. What's your level of regret for committing to go in this game tonight?
It's high. What's my level of backing out?
I know you got the cold syrup in here.
It's growing.
You're saying I'm sick. I know you're trying to back out. You're playing the seeds. I know your games, BT, but your level of regret has got to be high committed. Friday night?
It's high. It's high.
Pablo is calling from Tampa. What's up, Pablo?
Good morning to my New York family, BT and Sal. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
You got it, pal. How you doing?
Listen, first of all, I'm a native New York. Just happened to live in Tampa the last 2 years. So I just want to put that out there. So, but to all the pundits, the critics, the naysayers, the doubters, I think they got a good sample of what Aaron Rodgers is about and what he can do. Not only with his arms, not only by stretching out plays with his legs, but the mental part, which is so important in this game. I don't know what else to say except he's a bad man.
There you go.
And he's yours. And thank you for the call, Pablo. He's yours. He's ours. Mm-hmm. He's New York's. This is great. I love watching Aaron Rodgers. Can't get enough of it. To consider where the Jets were and now where they are with Aaron Rodgers, he's the sole reason why it's not SOJ. And you're seeing it. And that's the thing. You're right. And you're right, BT. Like, the mobility last night, big, big thing to take away from
Huge.
Last night. But just his mind, that's what I am in love with. Aaron Rodgers' ability to make a quick decision, get rid of the football. I mean, just after years of watching the antithesis of that.
Jeez.
Right.
The way he manipulates defenders is just, it's beautiful. It's just next level. I mean, he's up there with anybody that's ever touched a football. You know, looking off a safety, purposely getting the safety to stay, take a step to his left or his right. So this guy dragging over the middle or to the flats is a little bit more open. It's insane. By the way, this just hit me.
Yeah.
If you believe in omens and all that stuff. Mm. So I am a pen snob. I've said that a few times. I'm not snobby about much, but I need a good pen. Like, if it's not pointy and if it's not really, like, it can't be like this faint wuss trace. Like, it's got to be thick and strong. Like, I just need a good pen. And, you know, and I usually have them.
Yeah.
My pen ran out of ink.
Yeah.
And Sal's, for some reason, has 37 pens in front of him, all different colors. I said, Sal, grab me a pen. My pen just ran out of ink. He grabs me two.
Yeah.
They both happen to be green.
Well.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes.
Okay, you did.
Come on.
You did?
Yeah, of
course. That was a quick calculation.
Yeah. Well, really? I was like, what color do you want?
And I said,
like, yeah, whatever. And then I was looking at
really
like,
you really did do that on the fly fast?
Yeah, I was going to just give you the first one. I was like, oh, the orange you probably can't see. Then I saw the green. I was like, you know what?
Today's a green day.
Wow. That's impressive. I didn't think you would process it that quick. You're not Zach Wilson with Benz.
Yeah, no. No, I'm Rodgers with the Benz. Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Pete.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, so much to be happy about yesterday, but I'm going to give Joe Douglas his flowers right now. Definitely a lot to criticize him over. Everything Zach Wilson. I said to you guys what I called the other week. I don't like Robert Saleh. I don't think anybody does. But to continue to hit on these picks the way Joe Douglas has, Will McDonald looks like a stud, 5 sacks in basically 2 games. Braylon Allen, 4th-round pick, probably the best running back tandem the Jets have had. I don't know if I go back to Curtis and Lamont, but certainly Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell, at least they're better than that. You know, and I don't need to turn this into a capology conversation, but to have 2 dynamic running backs on rookie contracts is such an advantage for an NFL team in this day and age, where you end up paying these guys for production that's going to decline. And Joe Douglas, even though there's been some missteps, has done such an amazing job of filling this roster with young, controllable studs.
Yep.
And one more quick point on Aaron. You know, Baldy is doing his breakdowns on Twitter this morning and going through the way Aaron Rodgers just dissected the Patriots last night in his pre-snap reads. And all of those little bubble screens, the Lazard touchdown was one of them. The earlier, Lazard got like 12 yards on a 2nd and 7 for a 1st down where Rodgers read what the corner was doing and threw that little quick hit out to the side to Lazard. You know what's going to happen against Denver? Is when Peyton gets his hand on that tape and starts going Monday morning to get his prep in, he's going to say to his corners, hey, look, guys, you can jump that route. And you know what Aaron's going to do? He's going to pump fake, get that corner to bite, and Lazard or Garrett Wilson, whoever, is going to be gone 20 yards the other way.
Pete, I said that. You know, I didn't quite say it that way, but that was the intent. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that some gash plays are coming. They're going to be coming.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things on film all of a sudden.
He's too good. Pete just nailed it. The pre-snap reads, his mind, his football mind, knowing what the defense is going to give him, knowing what the defense is trying to take away. As he said it too, by the way, after the game, which is another thing that I thought was enlightening, because we just look at it from a fantasy perspective sometimes. Hey, well, how come Rodgers and Garrett Wilson aren't clicking? He's saying that the primary objective from the team's defenses so far through the first 3 weeks has been to take away Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, and they're
double team him.
Yeah, and they're doing two high safeties, exactly. Which makes it tough.
Exactly. 3 straight weeks.
Yep.
So, and that's going to obviously leave other stuff open, but that's why you haven't seen Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, you know, him catching 10 balls a game for 150 yards, whatever it may be, which might come eventually anyway. But just think of, like, do you think Zach Wilson would have even known that? And I'm not trying to pick on Zach Wilson.
No. It's just, but I don't think Zach's alone.
Yeah.
I don't even think Jacoby Brissett sees that. Like, veterans who've been around, is Tyrod Taylor seeing that to that level? I don't think anybody is in the, I don't even know if Mahomes
is. He's brilliant.
That level.
And you bring up another point when you talk about Denver, and I know last year, you know, Jets got some revenge on Denver, whatever. It's different this time.
Why?
Because number 8's going to be on the field.
Oh, yeah.
And
Denver's not good.
I understand that. I'm saying I think he's going to look to put, remember what they did to his boy Hackett?
Oh, yeah.
And then Peyton talking about it.
That's right.
It's a home game.
And it's here, so Tucker shouldn't get hurt.
Rodgers can actually take things into his own hands.
Yeah.
I think you're getting another ass.
Also, Sal, by the way, I didn't even think about that. That's true. The early spread, Jets 7.5 points. I already saw it. That's up there. 7.5 against Denver. Right now, it's going to be the highest spread. Or they already have these. You don't really know what happens with injuries, so it's ridiculous to start betting this stuff, but the Jets are early 7.5 point favorites. The Morgan Moses thing looks like they averted disaster.
Got news on that?
Well, I don't want to say I have news, but when he went down, I'm like, oh, God, you get rolled up. There goes the knee. It's shredded, right? And when he walked off, I'm like, but I've seen so many guys and women, including my wife, when she tore her MCL playing and ACL playing soccer, she came home, she walked into the house. I'm like, it doesn't look good. So you can't really, you can't assume that he's healthy just because he's walking off the field, but they felt good about it last night. They felt good about it today, and it looks like they avoided. I'm not reporting it. That's not my job here. But it looks like they averted disaster. The Jets feel pretty good about Moses.
Unbelievable. Yep. Great news for the Jets, and also great news right now for the New York Mets as they're rolling. We'll get to that. Working the Giants as well.